I always encourage people to say, what is your business? And what do you do? And how do you focus on doing what you do best so you can continually get our 1,000+ developers continually pushing updates every day to make this software better and more effective as we're getting feedback from
Right.
hundreds of thousands of users that you're just never going to have.
Welcome to Aligned, the podcast dedicated to helping emerging middle market companies pursue growth and bridge the gap between sales and marketing. In today's episode, our host, Sean Doyle, joins Fitzmartin's Jessica Jardin and HubSpot's Jordan Benjamin for the second part of a two-part Fitzmartin webinar discussing the overarching methodology driving new technology integrations. If this is your first time listening, we encourage you to subscribe and leave a rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. Now, let's dive in.
To part two of our webinar on how a data-driven view and integrated toolset impacts the full sales cycle from unaware to customer service. On the webinar with me, I have Jordan Benjamin and Sean Doyle. Thank you both for joining me again.
Yay.
Good to be here.
Yes, we
Jordan,
had a
you didn't even change clothes since the last time we met. What are you doing?
It's his favorite shirt.
What happens when you work from home, you never have to change your clothes. I've been wearing the same pair of shorts for the last 6 months and nobody knows aside from my dog.
You're safe with me.
Absolutely.
I will say this, all of this past year has saved me a lot on shopping costs. So I hear you there, Jordan. We're in the same boat.
Good way to That's save. Beautiful. It's a good way to save.
Yes. Our first conversation was great. We chatted a lot about just where Hub has been, and I wanted to continue that conversation, especially since you have some great insights to share working with different enterprise-level systems, Jordan. Wanted to start the second part of the series just talking about how HubSpot has evolved. We talked a little bit in the past session about how IT traditionally has trusted, you know, the sales forces, the Dynamics, all of those big names, but HubSpot has really made a lot of strategic changes over the years, and wanted to hear from your perspective the reasoning behind that and what executives should know when they're having these conversations about CRMs and marketing automation technology.
Awesome. Yeah, we can definitely have a big conversation there as we're now working with, I think, 120,000 customers across the globe, companies large and small. We've seen some of our largest new customers come on board in the last handful of years. As we have really started out saying we wanted to solve for how do we help people just get more leads, get more awareness to their website, change the sales conversation from, hey, buy my stuff to, hey, I saw you had some questions about XYZ area. How can I help? That really aligns so much more with the modern buyer. And so as we started out as this marketing technology, we saw that companies were using 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 different tools and technology to drive their growth engine. And that created so much friction for them. And all these tools, you had a different UI, UX, you had different bills to pay, support lines to call, different reporting and metrics and analytics that ultimately wasted people's time and their brain power. And so as we started off, our founder said, we want to build a tool that's incredibly simple and easy to use. And it took us a handful of years to get there. But now what we've seen is you don't have to be a technical developer to build a landing page or an email with dynamic content on it that can have different messaging to somebody based upon if we know they're a current customer or if they're in a different industry or have a different job title. And so as we've really evolved, we then saw that sales and marketing were totally siloed. And one of our earliest sellers and one of my favorite HubSpotters, Dan Tyer, who's longtime startup vet, he came up with this term schmarketing. And said, how do we actually have our sales and marketing teams working together? And then how do we move into actually building tools that help each individual do their job versus historically most CRMs have just been a glorified Rolodex to log your information and store your notes and didn't actually ever help sellers? And what we talked about before is that leads to really poor adoption. So it's really been cool for us as we've expanded this journey to now incorporate the service teams and the growth engines, the operations teams, So now we can really all work together as we think about driving growth. The one thought that our founder heard from Elon Musk that I really love and would encourage anybody to think about is our founder was at a retreat with Elon Musk, and he was talking to him about how do you accomplish these unbelievable feats? And Elon Musk talked about vector alignment. He says, how do we get everybody in our organization working on the same vector towards the same goal, moving in the same direction? And yet what we've seen for many years across sales, marketing, service, and ultimately the growth engine of any company is misalignment, is silos that live between them. And that's really what we've worked to break down and what's really helped us accelerate our growth really in a marked way over the last handful of years in the HubSpot journey.
That's amazing. I have a question for you, Jordan, because Fitzmartin's technology agnostic. What's that mean? It means we'll work within any platform. And we do. We work in a lot of platforms. All of our clients have already made these decisions. And then we're going to come in and help them because we can help people with their sales and marketing growth and their goals in any platform. However, we do take the position, if we get to help you with your technology, we want to see people in HubSpot. Why? Because of what you just said. I love it. Vector alignment. I'd not heard that story, so I'm going to have to use that. But here's my challenge. I'm working with executive teams, and the SVP of sales hears HubSpot, the CEO hears HubSpot, the IT guy hears HubSpot, and they all kind of go, you're a marketing guy, and we need a business tool. Tell me why and how I can help people, executive teams, shift their thinking about the tool. Because obviously HubSpot's not serious. It's a marketing thing. Salesforce, that's a powerful engine. Microsoft, you know, Oracle, big IT stuff. Nobody understands it. So it must be, I mean, help me. What do I say? How do I help these people understand why HubSpot is a real powerful player? And as an aside, what are a couple names of the people that those executives would go, oh, really? So-and-so uses them? Huh.
Yeah. So this is a fascinating one. So for me, as I think about, again, aligning our teams, I think about measurement and I think about analytics. And when we have all these different systems that people use, that they cobble together in what we refer to as a Franken system, a lot of times, it's incredibly challenging to actually get quality data, to actually understand that customer journey. To actually
Jordan, my IT guy can do that. He's a developer. He can put all that together. He can link it up.
They definitely can, but that's incredibly expensive and ineffective. And most of those tools communicate in different metrics. And so it's really challenging to link all those things together. And personally, I think we as a company have a belief that that's not where their development brain power is most effectively used. By no means do we think these folks shouldn't have a job. We just think their jobs should be more powerful and they should get more leverage with where they spend their time versus jockeying through Excel sheets and manually putting those together, staying up late at night, when in HubSpot, you can have all that data in one place and you can have it automatically emailed out to the executive team every Monday morning at 8 a.m. or whatever it is before that leadership stand up. So those are the areas where we really think as the internet age has evolved, as technology has evolved, where we can have with an integrated system, a much more effective use of our employees' time and ultimately a higher ROI from the activities that we do, because we've got much more insight and more effective use of that employee's time to say, great, here's where we need to make our decisions to not just drive more visits to our website or hand raises even, that are all good indicators, but ultimately what drives bottom line impact. And how do we get to that without having to either pay an internal team to spend 10, 20, 30, 40 hours a month putting that together? Or also our agency partners that come in and say, great, now opposed to charging my client 8, 10, 12 hours a month on smooshing reporting together, that investment is actually spent on thinking about our future strategy and where we can actually make more growth happen. Mm. Versus smooshing a report together, which is important, but not really worth your brain power in today's day and age.
So who are some of those clients that I would be forced to reevaluate whether Hub is credible or not if I'm that executive?
So we've
Can you tell? Can you be allowed to tell? Is this a secret?
I, with some of them, I think I'm able to share. There are some slide decks where I you know, have some logos on there.
If I'm putting you on the spot, just tell me I am.
No, I love it. We love to say that we solve for the Fortune 5 million versus many of the systems that many folks are familiar with and have been for years are typically solving for the Fortune 500, which gives us this consumer grade power that you don't have to be a developer. But we've got folks on HubSpot like Toyota, LegalZoom, Shift, NEC, folks across the world, Airwallex, BBC, a bunch of folks, Bell Performance, like there are folks across every industry and every size of company.
Yeah, these are serious HubSpot businesses you're naming. These are
they're actually
these people are not playing around, right?
And not to mention, you know, we use these tools for ourselves. As you look at HubSpot, we're now, you know, a 5,000 person company. We are, you know, I think our market cap is like $28 billion. And we use this stuff for ourselves. So it has to be pretty good to make sure as a publicly traded company, we can be supported by our own tools.
Whether you use a CRM, marketing automation, advertising platforms, or anything else, keeping track of your current marketing technology can be challenging. And if you need assistance sorting through your existing tech stack, Fitzmartin's MarTech Audit is here to help. Fitzmartin will audit your organization's currently utilized technology based on 7 categories, analyzing how your organization's tech components are used to see if you are allocating the proper funding to each criterion. The result? It delivers robust ROI savings through reduced tech fees, recommendations for future technology, and more time for your marketers to do their jobs. For more information, check out our show notes or visit fitzmartin.com.
You know, I think my journey with, because we've been working with your tools for a long time, my journey has been that HubSpot was really sold in the beginning as a marketing tool, and Inbound was even the name of your conference. I don't know if that's changed or not, or it's going to be changed, but you know, the idea of inbound marketing, and it was a powerful tool that caught like wildfire, right? Went around the country. And then a lot of people got disappointed with it because there was more to it than inbound. And I even wondered about it, but then I saw the company respond, right? I saw y'all's skills, the depth of the skills. But it didn't. What lagged, maybe is lagging, is still the consumer perception of that executive. That's a marketing thing. So I hear IT can respect it. IT sales can respect it at the largest companies. So a HubSpot user can be confident that they're not saying, I'm using this little marketing tool, but I'm using a powerful engine behind sales and marketing, and an efficient one, and an effective and a priced well tool as well.
Yeah. And I think the thing for me is somebody that's in sales, that spends my time talking to sales leaders inside of HubSpot and outside of it, is that there's actually tools that help folks do their job better. There are things that help me historically as a seller, as I've used the other CRM systems.
What are 2 or 3? You've been in sales, Jordan. You're a sales guy at heart. You've been in the startup world, not at selling HubSpot all your life. You're a sales guy. What are the things that sales would go, oh, I didn't even realize HubSpot could do that?
Yeah. And there are customers that use the Salesforces, the Dynamics, et cetera, that still put our sales tools on top of them because you can leverage those platforms and we can integrate okay with them. But for me, like the 2 or 3 that come up the most easily in my world are notifications. When my leads open or engage the emails that I send them or click on links that I've sent. Because historically, as a seller, I've spent so much time just chasing whoever I had that last task with, because that's who I had the last task with. And I'm going to call them because they haven't responded. But now I see that, oh, somebody that I reached out to 2 months ago and was pretty engaged with just opened my email I sent them about the pricing of our product. Well, now I've got insight about where I spend my time and how I actually reach out to the people that are most likely to buy. The other piece that I think is this huge benefit of us coming from this marketing company is that integration or that schmarketing aspect of I can now get notifications from my marketing team leveraging marketing automation that's historically just viewed as how do I like send an email to a prospect to say, hey, Jordan, your lead just visited this page on your website. They just took this action. So now I again can reach out in a way that actually resonates with me as a buyer, saying, oh, hey, I saw you were checking out the pricing. Like, there are a bunch of different offerings that we have. I find people typically have a lot of questions when they get there. What are you looking to accomplish? What are your goals? How can I help? So those are a couple things. And then my favorite one that allows me to, again, get leverage out of my time that I find a lot of people go buy other point solutions to do, like a calendar scheduling, is we have calendar scheduling in our software. So I can be on a sales call and yet having a new prospect book time on my calendar for another sales call while I am actively selling. My marketing team can send an email out that doesn't just say, hey, raise your hand, but can actually say, hey, schedule time directly with Jordan, because we know that he's your sales rep because we're in this integrated system. So those are a couple of the many pieces that allow me to, again, go back to this thought of getting leverage out of my time and spending it much more effectively, that, to your point earlier, gets adoption from a sales team, because sales teams suck at doing things differently. We're terrible at it. But when you show me that this is actually going to help make my life easier and make more money, that's why people adopt these tools, and that's why they leverage them heavily.
Pretty motivated on that. Yeah. That, as an aside, the calendar scheduling, that changed my life.
Absolute game changer.
It's amazing.
It makes my life so much easier.
Oh, yeah. In fact, if I ask you for a meeting, all you do is reply back with a link.
Here's the link.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm like, wait, you don't have this bookmarked already? Like,
I think you could at least say, you know, hey, you know where this link is. Or you could be, instead of just sending me the link, Jordan, come on, man.
That's okay.
We're all about efficiency.
It's still that easy. And I think that is
Do you have a sequence set up for that? You didn't talk about sequences, right?
I didn't talk about sequences. As you talked before about this concept of inbound. It was really, you know, how do we bring people to us? And we have evolved. When I first started working at using HubSpot, I was at a pay-per-click startup, which, you know, initially kind of when I joined HubSpot, as they were looking at acquiring us, it didn't go through, which is the best thing that ever happened for me, in all honesty. But it was like, oh, paid search is not inbound. It's not in alignment with that philosophy, which we have had to evolve on. We've had to realize that there are so many complementary strategies that can work well, but inbound has moved to a philosophy of how can we help as a seller? How can we lead to build trust, to build value, to build credibility with our prospects? So we enable our sales team to have great resources and content, our service team to have articles that they can easily send. So we reduce that friction through the process. And we've really evolved ourselves to say, yeah, you know what? We can use a sequence to do outbound prospecting automation, but let's lead with something that actually adds value for our prospects versus just saying, give me your money.
Mm-hmm. So what I was referring to, for any listener that hasn't heard the word sequence, it's this incredible thing. Jessica really taught me about it. Has this amazing ability. So Jessica can send an email to 100 people, and then the ones that respond don't get more. The ones that don't get a second email from Jessica without Jessica doing an additional thing. She sets up one sequence, sends 100 emails. She might send 500 emails and only have to do the task one time. Like, that kind of automation is so simple, but so few people do it. We've had this system for how long? Jessica joined us and said, why are the sequences? Come on. I asked her to audit them. She said, you don't have any. You numbskull.
Audit done.
You know, yeah, audit done. So it's just an amazing tool. And that's the kind of stuff, the depth that we love, that we see, that executive teams, like, you don't have to build this from scratch, this concept. And honestly, I'm an old guy, right? I'm the last year of the baby boom. So I'm going to say something here technically, and Jessica, Jordan, y'all have got permission to correct me on the spot. But, you know, you don't have to develop all this stuff, right? It's built. These are common problems that teams, and if you hire somebody to an implementer to come in and build a system for you, your sales force is going to say, hey, what if we do an automated series of email, you know, of emails that, like we just described, with some intelligence, and that developer is going to say, sure, I can build that for you. And it's going to cost $5,000 or $10,000. And they're going to cut and paste. I mean, HubSpot got it there. It's part of the deal. You didn't have to think of it. You didn't have to dream of it. You don't have to pay for it. And you just can't. I asked my first business consultant. He delivered a big old honking report. I paid him a lot of money. And I said, David, how much of this report is boilerplate? He said, 80, 85%. I'm like, you're kidding me. He said, why? He said, it's 100% valid advice. I see the same problems every place I go. Why would I rewrite it? And like, so when you hire, when you decide to custom build all this stuff because you've got IT, because you've got a white sheet, I mean, you're just spending money. You don't have to. Let's put it in the marketplace. Let's get to creating revenue instead of being a software dev shop. That drives me nuts. Anyway, so I'm agnostic, but why would you just keep recreating?
Yes.
I'm working with a client right now. We're going to do a development program to build a dashboard. I could build it in an hour in HubSpot if they use that product. They don't use that product. And we're going to have to bring in a developer.
Yep.
It's a nuts.
And that's where developers are so expensive. And I talk to so many people that have built a totally bespoke system and all these other things that sound so fantastic. I'm working with a prospect right now that I've been going in circles with for probably a year. That's like, oh, but you don't do exactly this one piece of my business. And those folks that go in and custom build their own CRM system, their own tool set, they don't have developers on staff full time. They're not specialists in doing this. And so I always encourage people to say, what is your business and what do you do? And how do you focus on doing what you do best? And let us or somebody else, we may not be the perfect solution for everybody, but how do you let folks focus on what they do best so you can continually get our, in our case, 1,000+ developers continually pushing updates every day to make this software better and more effective as we're getting feedback right. from hundreds of thousands of users that you're just never going to have. And yes, there may be some specific things that you want. Well, we recently launched custom object creation. So you can get a developer to go in and build those things yeah. for you. And this is why we love working with folks like the Fitzmartin team to bring in that perspective of, well, here's how we've applied this over many different customers in the past to help you get the most value as quickly as possible.
Love it. HubSpot, I feel better next time I have a C-suite person challenge me. I feel more equipped. Thank you, Jordan. And I know Jessica's giving us the signal. I think there's a big hook coming, but I can't help but tell this story. So I got a Traeger smoker, you know, and I'm out there smoking chickens and smoking pork and all this. And I'm thinking I'm really cool. I'm like, all right, I'm a big dog. It's during a long weekend. I'm like, I'm going to do a brisket. So I've got, you know, $100 of smoke pellets. I've got, I don't know how much electricity for, because of electric smoker over, you know, the whole time. I buy a $150 brisket. I stay up all night long. And my family, when I serve it, they're pleasant. They smile. They pat me on the head.
Polite.
It's terrible. It's chewy. It's tough. And about 3 miles from my house, there's this place called Martin's Barbecue. They make briskets every day. That's all they do. And they're incredible. So for a third the cost, I could have had an amazing brisket. And
your whole day back.
Night.
And the time. Yes, Jessica. Like that is the thing that is so hard to sell on or to, it's easy to quantify when you think about how much you pay somebody in an hour, but all of a sudden you're like, wait, you just lost, call it 20 hours. You know, as we talk about reporting, it's like, oh yeah, you spend 8 hours a month trying to put together reports, call it at $100 an hour, which I think is low in the grand scheme of things. There's $800 a month just to try and put together somewhat shoddy reports. And people are like, oh, I won't invest in, you know, the HubSpot professional tool for $900 a month when we're already spending money in other areas and paying folks, you know, effectively $800 to try and put together a report. That's just where I think today's day and age, our brain power can be used so much more effectively.
Beautiful.
Great. Well, I sense that there is a lot more that we can cover together. I would love to have you on our Align podcast to continue the conversation, Jordan. Is that something that you'd like to join with us for a future date?
I'm in sales. I love talking.
Beautiful. You have so many great insights to share. And it's been great to get the perspective from you and then from you, Sean, as well, working directly with executives for decades. You ran into these conversations on a daily basis. So I appreciate both of you hopping on with me. Thank you all for watching, and you will be seeing more of Jordan and Sean and myself in an upcoming podcast, I believe.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you all so much.
We sure appreciate you listening today. If you would like to get in contact with today's guest or stay in touch with us, visit our show notes. Additionally, to get the latest strategies for the alignment between marketing and sales, visit fitzmartin.com. As a reminder, if you have found value in today's episode, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, or your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, thanks for listening.